All right. Let's read a little bit in chapter 5, and then we're going to take a look at chapter 10. There are a number of issues that we're going to have to deal with, and most probably we're going to lay the groundwork today for issues that you're going to have to be aware of. One of them is going to be, and this is something that we'll only be able to give a few examples, we will not be able to deal with it extensively. Just about everything that we're learning here is repeated in Divrei Hayamim, in Chronicles. Same stories, in great measure. Same stories, but with subtle differences. Now, obviously, if the story is repeated, there has to be a reason why the story is repeated. If there are differences, then we have to understand what is the meaning of the differences. And sometimes the very subtle differences carry extremely important messages. We will also, I hope, reach a point at which we will be able to differentiate between the purpose of Sefer Melachim and the purpose of Divrei Hayamim. So I'm just giving you a sort of coming attractions, and I will have to see how it plays itself out. Let's just read Perek Hey. Ushlomo Hayom Moshe B'chol Amlachot. Bechol Mamlachot, Ham Mamlachot, Shlomo ruled over all of the kingdoms, Min HaMahar, from the river, Eretz Plishtim, by the land of Plishtim, by Gvul Mitzrayim, and the word Va'ad over here really means even from the border, and even from the border of Egypt, because we're talking about if Nahar, depending if the Nahar is the Euphrates, then we're talking about from north until south. All of the many peoples that lived in those lands brought the tax, tribute, gifts, and served Shlomo all the days of his life.
We don't know which river you're referring to.
Well, Hanahar usually means the Euphrates. Hanahar Hakadol, Nahar Prat. The eastern river. Vayehi lechem Shlomo liyom echad, shloshim kor solet, v'shishim kor kemach. The pasuk is going to describe now the great daily outlay of the house of Shlomo. There's a tremendous amount being consumed there. The bread of Shlomo Yom Echad was Shloshim Kor Solet, 30 Kor of Solet. According to some opinions, it's well over 400 kilo. We're talking a lot of flour. Veshishim Kor Kemach, even more, something in the neighborhood of 800 kilo of Kemach. Asara Bokor Briim, 10 cattle. Esrim Bokor Rei, 20 cattle that were grazing in the field. Meotzon, 100 sheep. Levad, aside from Ayal, Utsviv, Yachmor, Ubarburim, Varusim, aside from the fact there was a great deal of give me the translations for all of them.
Hearts, deer.
Hearts, deer. What's the Yachmor?
Fallow deer.
Fallow deer. Fallow deer. Do you know what a fallow deer is? Huh? Barburim, okay, barburim and
swine.
And avusim. What, how do they translate avusim in your English translation? You don't have an English
translation.
Fatted fowl. Fatted fowl. Turn it mifutamim. It sounds like. It's like smiris, exactly. It sounds like smiris.
It says forcefully
fattened. Forcefully fattened. Tarnagolim mifutamim means fattened. Forcefully fattened. Right.
That's what we do here in the
rest of the neighborhood. Yeah, this is a Kihu Rode Bechol Eiver Hanar, because he ruled. He ruled over the entire area of Eiver Hanar. Eiver Hanar means from the other side of the Euphrates, all the way down south. Make Tifsach Vaad Aza, from Tifsach all the way up there in the northeast, down to Aza, which is in the southwest. Bechol Malchei Evar Naren, he was also the one who ruled over all kings on the other side of the river. Now, the other side of the river, I know that this is going to sound brilliant to you, but there are two sides to every river. It may very well mean that he, in one way, ruled over those on one side of the river, but he also had
influence
and relationships on the other side of the river. We're talking about a kingdom that is mighty, that is great, that is nearly global in its sweep, its swoop, its swope, its influence and its scope. Some of those words were right, not all of them. Of course, the point of all this is in order to explain why is the outlay of the house of Shlomo that great, why all of the tzon and the bakar. They want to point out that we're not talking about a kingdom of opulence. In other words, you may be left with the impression that this is there's a constant orgy of eating going on, as in Rome of old. The only thing that's missing over here is grapes. The point is, there's a tremendous outlay of food every day because there are relationships with so many countries and there are so many people coming to Yerushalayim. So many people coming from all over the world. Yerushalayim is the center of commerce, it's the political nerve center of the world. It is also the center of great influence spreading outward. Everything that I'm saying is going to be important. It's going to be important in terms of an understanding of what it is that Shlomo wants to accomplish. It may also explain to us some of what seem to be his excesses. It may also explain to us ultimately in what it is that he fails. Shlomo fails. He's going to be a great king, but he, at the end, he's going to fail. What it is that he sets for himself as a goal is not going to be accomplished. But one thing is certain. With all of his influence and all of the relationships that he has and all of the people that are coming, there's no doubt about it that Shlomo HaMelech wants to have an impact. He wants to use his relationship with these people not merely for political gain or military gain or economic gain. There's something else that Shlomo has in mind, and everything that he's going to do is going to be geared to that purpose. Right. He's the one who rules on all in the entire other side of the river, Mitifsach v'ad Aza, from Tifsach all the way in the northeast, as we said, to Aza in the southwest. Bechol Malchei Eivar Hanar, he is the one who rules, has influence over all of the kings of Eivar Hanar. Shalom Hoyolo Mikol Avarov Misoviv, there was peace unto him on all sides, in all directions. Vayeshev Yehuda v'Yisrael Lavetach, and Yehuda and Yisrael lived in security. Ish Tachat Gathno v'Tachat Te'inato, here we come, for the first time we come in Tanakh to the description of the great ideal, each person tachat gafno under his vine, the tachat einato under his fig tree, midan ba'ad Be'er Sheva kol yemei Shlomo, from Dan until Be'er Sheva, all the days of Shlomo. We're talking about the most idyllic period of all in Jewish history. Ah, you know, it's very interesting. Yeah, I see already.
He said Aza.
Huh?
Now we're in Be'er Sheva.
Incidentally, you're only worried. Why are you only worried about the Negev? You also lost the Golan and everything above Dan. So therefore, of course, the Mefarshim say that Dan Ad Be'er Sheva is an idiom, right? It's a metaphor that really means to include everything, from soup to nuts. If somebody says from soup to nuts, does that mean what? No chicken and no beef and Dan Ba'ad Be'er Sheva represents the... there's something else about Don of Beersheba. Don also represents one of the smallest or least influential of the tribes, and Beersheba represents Yehuda and Shimon, who are the two largest. In a sense, Don and Beersheba, as I see it now, that's Yehuda, the Israel that it said at the beginning of the passage. Beersheba includes the entire area of Beersheba, which includes every last grain of sand in the Negev. Yes. All right.
Because
okay.
A lot is left out.
A lot is very good. Okay, that's a question that we're. It seems as though prosperity. I'm going to explain it for you. You're right. I never would leave you without the question. But in my answer, you'll. I'll tell you what she's asking. It seems like peace, tranquility is all in described in economic terms. Each man under his vineyard and under his fig tree. Is there anything spiritual about this? I mean, what?
As it's comparing it to the Shir HaMalot that we say in Kriyat Shema, where it says, Eshtachat Yevim Korea, Be'etach, but then it says, Vanecha Kishirei Zaytim. In other words, it goes on more elaborate as to what a bracha is in terms of what real peace is. Peace is not just sitting under your tree.
Okay. That's why you have to learn an entire perek and a few prokem to get the whole picture. What's being built up over here is, number one, and everything is in order, watch it, the extent of his, geographic extent of his influence is the first pasuk in this chapter. The massive amount of food that was consumed, to tell us not only does he have great influence, but those people upon whom he has great influence are making their way to Yerushalayim. So it's not merely an influence that spreads outward, but that outward is coming here. All right? In the midst of it all, what we are told is about the people of Israel, that they are strong, they're safe, they're secure, economically, and most probably in all other ways. Now watch. Just hang in, and we're going to build up the chapter, and we'll see what's happening. Vayehi Shlomo arboim elef urvot susim lemerkavo. Shlomo had 40,000 stables of horses, or mangers of horses. That's a word that's in vogue this time of year. The urvot susim for his chariots, Shneim Osar Elef Parashim, and he had 12,000 riders. He had a lot more horses than he had riders. V'chilkalu hanitzavim ha'ela. Remember, in the last chapter, we had a list of the 12-13 people who are in charge of providing the needs of his vast kingdom. V'chilkalu hanitzavim ha'ela tamela Shlomo. All of these nitzavim, the ones who are placed in charge, they all provided for the king Shlomo. That kol hakorei del shulchan hamelach Shlomo, and all those who came to the table of Shlomo, ish chadsho, each one was in charge of, and he carried out and exercised his responsibility the way he was supposed to. Ish chadsho, each one his month. Lo yadru davar, nothing was ever missing. V'hasoorim v'hateven. There were oats and barley and oats and tevin and straw. La susim v'la rachash, for the horses, and rachash is another kind of horse. Yaviyu l'amakom hashiyu sham, would always be brought to where they were. Ish kimishpato, in other words, they provided for the horses wherever they were. Ish kimishpato, each one according to that which he was responsible for. Everything had geknacked, geklept, and from an administrative point of view, everything worked perfectly well. Vayitain Elokim now begins the build-up. Vayitain Elokim Chochma L'Shlomo. don't think that all we are talking about is economic well-being, and that's the sum total of everything that Shlomo has accomplished, and this is his great legacy. It's not so. God gave wisdom to Shlomo, utvuna harbe mi'od, and a tremendous amount of understanding. The rochav lev, and a heart that is broad and expansive, kachol asher al svat hayam, like the sand by the seashore. We're talking about one of the most unusual people who has ever lived. Vatedev Chochmat Shlomo, the Pasuk now is telling us about the great wisdom of Shlomo. The wisdom of Shlomo was greater than Chochmat Kol B'nei Kedem, the wisdom of all of the people of the East. Umikol Chochmat Mitzrayim, and all of the wisdom of Egypt. There were the wisdom of the people of the East. They were the ones that knew about the stars and the heavens. The people of Mitzrayim were the ones who knew about nature. His wisdom was greater than them all. Vayechka mikol ha'adam, and he was wiser than all men. And they list a number of the wise men of his time, and he was greater than them. Eitan ha'ezrachi, Haman, and Chalkol, and Darda, who b'nei Machol, the sons of Machol. People who are known in wisdom. Chazal tell us that Mikol HaAdam means that he was greater than Adam HaRishon, first man. Eitam HaEzrachi, who is the mighty one, that is Avraham. Haman is Moshe, most probably because Haman comes from the word trustworthy. Bechol Beiti, in my entire house, God says about Moshe, Ne'eman Hu, he is trustworthy. Haman is the trustworthy one. Chalkol. Who says at the end of Sefer Bereshit, Anochi achalkel etchem ve'etapchem? Yosef says to his brothers, I am the one who will provide for you and your children. Don't be afraid. I have no designs against you. Chalkol is Yosef.
Why is it not in order?
I'm having enough time telling you the Maamar Chazal. I have to tell you why it's not in the order too. Unless, of course, yes, I'll ask you the same thing. Why are the Yushpizen not in order? Yosef is at the end when Yosef should be in the middle, right? I mean, I can try to. The truth is that I can try and say all sorts of pshatim. I can try and certainly Adam HaRishon comes. Adam HaRishon comes first.
Maybe it goes in order of smartness,
instead of
in order of.
In order of, well, so that's already a very all right. Could be. Like, who was wiser than who? Yes, he. Well, of course, he was very wise. But even wise people make mistakes. And if anything, the wiser they are, the bigger the mistake. Man fails. Adam HaRishon's failure was a tragic failure. The fall of man was a tragic failure. All right, now I'm not even going to try to figure out the order. The Darda, the Chazal say, is the Dor HaMidbar, the generation of the desert who are Dor. They are the generation of great knowledge. You can ask me about them. Also, they failed. Everybody fails. Not too many succeed. The question is, what is one's failure? What is one's failure? I don't know. One of my favorite Nevi'im is Yirmiyahu. But he failed. He failed. And therefore, because he failed, for 40 years he tried to tried to make certain that the temple would not be destroyed, Yerushalayim would not be razed to the ground, Jews would not lose their independence, they wouldn't be sent off into exile. The end is that he failed. You know, in life, it's not necessarily that you don't necessarily win. Nobody has any guarantees that you're going to win.
I think his greatness is that he tried.
His greatness was that he tried. And the message he left is a message for all time. And in the longer view of history, he's going to. Well, of course, he's not a failure if he's my hero. In other words, Yirmiyahu is my hero when somebody calls me up and says, well, you lost the struggle. You lost the battle. Right? So I say that I'm in great company with Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Yechezkel. We lost the battle. Right? Who won the battle? So Nebuchadnezzar won the battle. Right? The hordes of Babylon won the battle. Did they win the battle forever? Or did they win the battle only for a brief moment in history?
They won the battle, but not necessarily the war.
That's right. They won the battle, but not the war. Of course, but when you're in the process of losing, it's pretty rough. So that is. So my great hero, one of my always quote, Richard Nixon, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. That's when you're being tested. And the great test of Yirmiyahu was, how does he respond after for 40 years he's walked the streets of Yerushalayim? He's been beaten, he's been thrown into prison, he's been spat at. He has been abused, he's been treated with absolute contempt for 40 years. How do you think he walks through the streets of Yerushalayim as the city is going up in flames? Does he walk around, you know, from Sinta to Sinta, I told you so? Or does he turn heavenward and he says, Rabbeinu Shlomo, Eichoy, how did you do it? How could you do it? How could you do it? Eichoy Yoshua Badad, how this great city, look what's happened to this great city. That's the way a Yirmiyahu was supposed to respond. It's all right. Anybody who calls me up and says, well, you lost or you're losing the battle, boy, are they in for a shock. We give it back to them with both barrels. Well, not every victory.
You have to take them at least by fourth.
At least I fought, and the battle isn't over. Long game fighter. It would have seemed, as we started going through this chapter, that we're talking only about the great economic miracle, the new Middle East. Is what my mother Alashon would have said. I don't know how to translate that into a glick has happened unto me. Like the great he was wiser than all men, may Eitan Ezrachi and Haman and Kalkol and Darda b'nei Machol Vayehi, and interestingly enough, Eitam HaEzrachi, Chazal say he comes from Zerach. You remember the twins, Peretz and Zerach? Right, from Peretz, Shlomo comes from Peretz. In other words, one of the two twins that were born to Tamar, from him comes Malchus, the royal house, and from the other comes wisdom. Shlomo HaMelech's wisdom is greater even than theirs. There are a number of chapters in Tehillim that are from Eitan and Haman, yes. Vayishmo b'chol ha'goyim saviv, and his name went out amongst all the nations all around. Vayidabesh shloshet alafim mashal, he said 3,000 parables. Vayishiro chamishav alef, and his poems, his poetry was 1,005. And he spoke about the trees. He knew everything about the trees from the cedar in the Lebanon, until the hyssop, from the biggest to the smallest. The hyssop that comes out of the wall. And he spoke about the animals and the fowl, and that which creeps, about the fish. And they came from all of the nations to hear the wisdom of Shlomo. From all of the nations of the world that wanted to hear his wisdom, they all came to Yerushalayim. Maybe here we'll take a break and we're going to go to one of the stories, the story of one person who comes to hear the wisdom of Shlomo. And what we're going to have to ask ourselves is the famous story of the Queen of Sheba, which you should have done for homework. Right? I see in the looks of your faces that maybe one or two of you did the homework. And we're going to have to ask ourselves, why is this story so unique? It says that everybody came. From all over the world they were coming to hear the wisdom of Shlomo. The whole world heard about his wisdom. So let's go to chapter 10. And here we may very well point out some of the differences between the way the story appears here and the way the story appears in Divrei HaYamim. Let's read it. U'malkat Shva Shoma'at et Shema Shlomo. The Queen of Sheba Shoma'at et Shema Shlomo. She heard the she heard of the reputation of Shlomo. She heard of the reputation of Shlomo. And therefore, what does she do? Malkat Shvar Shomat et Shema Shlomo L'Shem Hashem. Malkat Shvar hears of the news of Shlomo L'Shem Hashem. It means she realizes, or this is the way they're saying it in the world, that his wisdom is something that is beyond the ken of a human being. If anything, this is a wisdom that is given by God. By the way, that's exactly what happened. You will recall even in that chapter that we didn't... Vayitein Hashem, God gave Chochma l'Shlomo, God gave wisdom to Shlomo, and Shlomo had wisdom that was given by God. And she came to test him with riddles. She came to Yerushalayim b'chayil kaved mod, very heavy, large number of people who came with her. Gemalim nosim b'samim, and camels that carried all sorts of spices. The zohav ravnio, the great deal of gold. The eben yekora, and precious gems. That tovoel shlomo, she came to shlomo. But to davede lovi, she spoke to him. Kol asher oyom levavo, everything that was on her heart, everything, all of the questions and the doubts, everything she wanted to know, she spoke to him.
Why
what? Because in Levava, you have a different spelling? Why it's with two bases instead of... So you should be able to give the answer. That means it includes everything, things that she may have been aware of, and even things that she wasn't aware of. Shlomo HaMelech knew what was going on in her mind. Vayaged lo Shlomo es kol devareha. Shlomo told her everything. Lo haya dava nela min hamelech. There wasn't a single thing that was concealed from the king. Ashalo higidla, that he didn't tell her. He knew everything and he told her everything. Atele malkat Shva et kol chachmat Shlomo. The queen of Shva, the queen of Sheba, saw all of the wisdom of Shlomo. Habayit asher bana, the house that he built. Umachal shulchano, and the food that is given at his table. Umoshav havadav, and the place, I imagine the offices of his. Of his servants, each one had their place. In other words, administrationally, from an administrational point of view, everything was perfection, absolute perfection. Umamad mishartad, and the position of his servants. Umal bushem, and their clothing. Umashkam, and the drink. Va'olat Torah sheyaled beit Hashem, and the sacrifices that he brought to the house of God. V'lo hoya ba'od ruach, he took the breath away. She was breathless. What a description. She was overwhelmed. She was overwhelmed by the greatness of Shlomo. Yes? Sheba is Ethiopia, they say. Yeah, one is that it's...
Another one was that it was India.
It's south, that's for sure, that it's somewhere to the south. Huh? Al Svat Yam Suf, that's of course the one that it's Ethiopia or Sudan, south of Egypt. Vatomer al HaMelech, and she said to the king, Emet haya hadavar asher shamati ba'artzi al dvarecha v'al chochmatecha. It's true, that which I heard in my land about you and your wisdom. V'lo he'emamti l'adverim, I didn't believe it. Ara Shabbati, until I came, but Tidena Inai, my eyes saw. Vine Lohu Gavli Achetzi, I wasn't even told half of what you really are. Hosafta Chochma Vatov, You have great wisdom and goodness, even more El Ashmua Sheshamati than that which I have heard. Ashrei Anashecha, Ashrei Avodecha Eile Ha'omdim L'fanecha Tamid. Fortunate are your people, fortunate are your servants who stand before you constantly, Hashomim Et Chachmatecha, who can hear your wisdom. Yehi Hashem Elokecha Baruch, let God your God be blessed. Asher Chafetz B'chol, the God who wanted you, L'titchal Kisei Yisrael, the one who wanted you that you should be placed upon the throne of Israel, Ba'ahavat Hashem Et Yisrael Olam, because of his love of God forever. Ba'yisimcha L'melech, and he made you a king, La'asot Mishpat U'tzdakah, to do justice and charity. I mean, that's quite a statement that she has made over there. I think that her statement is going to be extremely important in our understanding of what Shlomo has in mind and what ultimately is going to fail.
Sounds like a very sophisticated educated. She's no dummy?
She's no... One, she's no dummy. I mean, she did come to test, so to speak, to test Shlomo HaMelech with riddles. All right, and she's been overwhelmed. Breath is taken away. But Pitam HaMelech Me'er Ve'esrim Kikar Zov, she gave the king 120 bars of gold, Ubesonim Harbi Yod, a great deal of spices, the Even Yakora, and precious stones. Lo Bok HaBosam Ahu Od Lerov, that kind of bosam, that kind of perfume. In such quantities had never come. I said, Nabna Malkat Shval HaMelech Shlomo, that which Malkat Shval had given to King Shlomo. The Gam Oni Chiram, also the ships of Chiram. Asher Nosel Zahav Me Ophir, that brought gold from Ophir. Hevi Me Ophir, it brought from Ophir Atzei Al Mugim Harbe Me'od Ve'Even Yekara. In other words, in addition to that which was brought by the king, queen of Sheba, there were also the boats of Chiram, and we're going to see right away, we're going to make a flashback back to chapter 5, and we're going to see who Chiram is. His boats brought all sorts of gold from Ophir, Atzei Al Mugim. What kind of wood is Atzei Al Mugim?
Almo.
Huh?
Almo.
Is coral, or, yeah, I imagine a sandalwood, alright, whatever kind of wood it is. The heaven of coral. Vayas HaMelech Et Atzeihu Al Mugim Mis'od LeBeit Hashem LeBeit HaMelech. He made from, Rashi, on Atzei Al Mugim, Rashi gives the old French coral. I imagine coral.
Excuse me, if you think of it, the way coral grows, it looks like a tree.
Looks like a tree?
Yeah. It's got branches and...
Good, very good. Mm-hmm. Well, he made it. It seems what he made with it was Mis'ad LeBeit Hashem. There are a number of opinions as to what Mis'ad is. Either flooring, balatot, or the Mis'ad is a ramp. Ramp, is that what they say? Or a railing, a floor, something that connected his house and the house of God. Lebeit Hashem, lebeit HaMelech. V'chinorot unevalim lasharim, and used it for harps and violins for the those who sing. Lo bo kein atzei al mugim lo nira ad hayom hazeh. So much atzei al mug had never come and was never seen until that day. Barmelech Shlomo natan lemalkat shva. At Kol Chefzah Sher Sha'ala, King Shlomo gave to the Queen of Sheba all that she had desired, Milvad, Asher Nosel Makiyad HaMelech Shlomo, not only that which she desired, but with the expansive hand of Shlomo, whatever he's able to give, he gave her. Vatek ben Vatelech La'artzah, he va'avodah. She turned around and she went back to her land, she and her servants. Let's go back to the beginning of this chapter for a moment. Those first two psukim, Umalkat Shvo Shoma'at Et Shema Shlomo L'Shem Hashem. Huh? Oh, that's right, there's a lot of, I didn't even notice that. Malkat Shva Shoma'at Et Shema Shlomo L'Shem Hashem. Why, I didn't even notice that that's the kind of pasuk I would have written. In Divrei Hayomim, it says, Umalkat Shva Shoma'at. Past tense is used. same story, but the same story, there are a number of significant differences, and I'm using the story of Malkat Shvah in order to point out two things. What does Shlomo HaMelech have in mind with everything that he's going to do? And what's the difference between Sefer Divrei Hayamim and Sefer Malachim? So watch. One change is, there it says, past tense, she had heard. Over here it says, she hears. Over here it says, L'shem Hashem. The wisdom of Shlomo that is for the sake of God. That does not appear in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. L'shem Hashem does not appear over there. And yes, she came. Here it says in the second pasuk, "Vatavo Yerushalayma." She came to Yerushalayim. There, all it says is that she came to test Shlomo, be Yerushalayim in Yerushalayim. Now, there's a difference between the two. The way it's written over here in Sefer Malachim, "Vatavo Yerushalayma." She came to Yerushalayim. What kind of impression does that leave you with? This is not a simple journey. This is a pilgrimage. That's precisely the word. She's coming to Yerushalayim. She's not merely coming to... She's not only coming to Shlomo to test him. The way it's described in Divrei Hayamim, Yerushalayim is sort of no more than... a geographic. She's coming to Shlomo, and Shlomo happens to be in Yerushalayim. So it says she came to Shlomo, be Yerushalayim. She came to Yerushalayim in Yerushalayim. What's the difference between these two? What it's also related to is, and let me take you on another a flashback. Let's go back to chapter 5, where we were up to in chapter 5. Huh?
Where was that in Divrei Hayamim?
Chapter 9 in Divrei Hayamim. Bet. Everything is in Bet. Everything with Shlomo is... Shlomo begins Divrei Hayamim in Bet. Back to chapter 5. Okay. Where were we up to? We were up to Pasuk 15. We're up to Pasuk 15. Now watch. Vayishlach Chiram Melech Tzor et Avodat al Shlomo. Chiram, the king of Tzor, sent his servants to Shlomo. Kivshoma, because he heard Kiyotom Ashulim Melech, that he had been anointed as king, Tachat Abihu, in place of his father. Ki Ohev Hoyo Chiram Le David Kol Hayomim. Chiram loved David all of his lives.
I hope Yael Dayan doesn't get up to this, because
David
doesn't say.
You're right. We don't want that recorded. I'll tell you at home. All she said was that we're in real trouble if Ya'el Dayan reads this pasuk. Ki ohev hayachiram leDavid, the way she would translate that Chiram was a lover of David. Love David Kalayim. What did Hanan Porat say last night?
On television. I happened to see him for 2 minutes. He always said something worthwhile. He said that you can love somebody and it doesn't have to be sexual. It doesn't have to be living together and being called a mate. You can really love somebody. Like, we grew up at a time where you could love a friend. You could love a friend without it being dirty. So he did.
There was such a time.
There was.
Yeah, I remember.
Lived through it.
Yes. Vayishlach Shlomo el Chiram Lemar. Shlomo sent to Chiram. Now, here is another interesting difference between Divrei Hayamim and Malachim. In Sefer Malachim, who takes the initiative of entering into a relationship with Shlomo? The initiative is taken by Chiram. This first message of Chiram to Shlomo does not appear in Divrei Hayamim. In Divrei Hayamim, one could be left with the impression that the initiative is completely Shlomo HaMelech. Vayishlach Shlomo el Chiram Leiva. Shlomo sent to Chiram, so saying, Ato Yodates David Avi You knew my father David, by the way. Of course, with the word Yodati, you can also... the way Rashi says Yodati, Yodati means I love. Ata Yodato, you knew as David Avi, Ki lo yochol livnot bayit l'shem Hashem alakav, he could not build a house to God, his God, mipnei hamilchama asher sedahu, because he was surrounded by war. Atet Hashem otam tachat kapot ragloi, until God gave all of our enemies beneath my feet. In a sense, there's something very beautiful about the way Shlomo says this to Chiram. Because the fact is that there are those who learn it. I didn't learn it that way. When David wants to build the Beit HaMikdash, so God tells him, Dan Lorov Shafachto Milchomot Gedolot Asita, you spilled a great deal of blood, you waged great wars. You cannot build a house. You cannot build a house for me. The way it is said by God to David, it can leave the impression as though this is something negative about David. David, your hands are dripping, Pashid, dripping with blood. You cannot build a house of God. That's the way some of them before should learn it. When we came to that pasuk, I had learned it in a different way. And which fits in more with what Shlomo HaMelech is saying over here, that you are involved in war and you didn't have the peace and the tranquility, you didn't have the peace of mind, the presence to be able to undertake the construction of the Beit HaMikdash, because the construction of Beit HaMikdash is not merely the construction of another building. There's a tremendous amount of spiritual energy that has to go into that construction, and because of the wars all around you, you are not able to do that. Shlomo, of course, is saying it in a very beautiful way to Chiram. He's not telling Chiram that God didn't want my father to build it because of the wars he was involved in. He says he couldn't. He simply was he was surrounded by difficulty, and the first thing that one has to assure is the safety and the security of Klal Yisrael. For David HaMelech, that was his prime objective. He had wanted more than anything else to be the one who would build the Beit HaMikdash. Why? Because building the Beit HaMikdash would mean that he would have brought safety, security, peace, tranquility to the Jewish people, and now he can build the Beit HaMikdash. That was not to be. That which David wanted more than anything else was not to be. Just as what Moshe wanted more than anything else was not to be. What was it that Moshe wanted more than anything else? He wanted to come into Eretz Yisrael, he couldn't. David wanted more than anything else to build the Beit HaMikdash, and that was not to be. Which may very well bring us to what I want to say about Shlomo, that something that Shlomo wanted to do more than anything else, and it just was not to be. And we'll begin to demonstrate it here. What I'm going to talk about is briefly the relationship between Shlomo and Chiram, king of Tzor, and the relationship, maybe that's the right or maybe it's not the right word, his relationship with Malkat Shva, the king, the queen of Sheba. By the way, if you think that was some kind of a slip when I said king of Sheba, according to the Gemara, she wasn't the queen. She was a he. Now, if that's getting confusing, or you're beginning to think all sorts of funny thoughts, please don't think that. According to the Gemara, the female of Malkat, Shva, the female Malkat does not describe a person, but describes the kingdom of Sheba. It was a weak kingdom. No. Just take it easy. All the women's libbers, the feminists over here, in Torah terminology and certainly in Kabbalistic terminology, male and female also represent strength and weakness. Yes, the weaker sex, physically, I'm not talking about emotionally or intellectually and all these great things, but the feminine always represents the weaker. In Torah we have it.
Call it soft.
In that way you have a call soft. All right. We have a number of beautiful examples in in Torah, V'hoya la'ot al yad cha u'totafot b'ininecha. When it talks about tefillin, yad cha, your hand, is spelled yud dalit, which is weaker. They use the feminine. Malkat Shiva, therefore, does not necessarily have to describe a woman. It could very well describe a male king of a lesser or weaker kingdom. Then, of course, there's another Gemara that we're going to have to deal with, where the Gemara says, and this, of course, we're going to have to say she was a woman, that Shlomo lived with the queen of Sheba. And who was born from that union ultimately? Who was born? Who? Haile Selassie. Haile Selassie, get out of here. You believe this? Yeah, Haile Selassie, the Lion of Judah. There's a generation now that doesn't even know of Haile Selassie. The Gemara says, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, who was going to destroy the first Beit HaMikdash. Huh? It's a Gemara in Bava Batra. I'll give you exact will. Let's go back to Hiram, because I believe that there's a relationship between Shlomo and Hiram, and Shlomo with King, Queen of Sheba. I didn't quote that's I think the second chapter, middle of the first and the second chapter. But let's go back to our chapter over here. I think I've thrown a lot at you, but it's going to lay the groundwork for a lot of other things that we're going to talk about. So here we're up to Pasuk 18. Va'ato, this is the message of Shlomo to Chiram. Va'ato hiniach Hashem lekai li misaviv. God has given me peace all around. Ein satan ve'ein pegara. There no satanic forces, no piguim, nothing bad is happening. V'hinini omer, and therefore I am thinking, livnot bayit l'shem Hashem lekai, to build a house in the name of God, my God. Kasher diber Hashem, as God had said, el David avi lemo, to my father David, saying, bincha asher etein tachtecha al kisecha, your son whom I will place in your place on your throne, who yivneha bayit l'shmi, he will build the Beit HaMikdash in my name. V'atot tzadei, and now command, v'yichritu li arazim, I want you that to organize that they should cut for me cedars min halavano, from Lebanon. Va'avodai yiyum avadecha, my servants will be with your servants. Uschar avadecha eten lecha, I'm going to pay the salary for your servants. Kechol asher tomar, whatever you tell me. Ki ato yodato, because you know. Ki ein banu ish yodeh lichrot eitzim katzidonim, there's nobody who knows how to chop wood, cut down wood like the Sidonim. Now, there's something very interesting about what Shlomo HaMelech says over here. It can be understood in one of two ways. It could be understood in terms of he wants to make Hiram feel good and says there's nobody. He's complimenting him. Or Shlomo HaMelech is making an extremely important statement. The statement that he's making is, we Jews don't have to be the experts at everything. We are not the repository of all talents. You know, there are certain things that there are people in the world that can do better than we can. And if so, we should be able to enter into relationships with others. We should use our talents, you understand, for high tech. Okay? And we'll let the other schmoes over there go ahead and be agriculture, you know. It's an understanding or a recognition of limitations, and there's nothing wrong with limitations. No, they're not going to learn the art. They're not going to learn the art. The cutting is going to be done. The lumberjacks are going to be from Tyre, from Tzor. Yes.
I have a small problem, but a few sentences earlier, we talked about how he understood everything about trees and everything. He would know, he himself would know how to tell his officers how to cut the cedars.
Marcia,
anyone else's knowledge?
A Goyan, a genius in botany and zoology and horticulture doesn't mean that he knows how to knock a nail.
Or plant a garden.
Or plant a garden.
But why not? How do you know this?
Because I'm married.
Because they're completely different. You can have the great wisdom of Shlomo and he can have two linker hands. Two left hands. There's no guarantee. That there's nothing that says that all wisdom and all talent has to be the repository of one person or one people. That's it. Now, I'm just going to, in brief, begin to describe the idea that's behind all of this. He's going to enter into a treaty now with Chiram. That's not a simple thing. Not under all circumstances are you permitted to enter into treaties with the nations around. Especially Tzor. Tzor was from the family of Canaan. Shlomo HaMelech is entering into a contractual relationship with him. You see that right away. He has this relationship, so to speak, with the Queen of Sheba. He's going to marry many wives from many nations. So, there's one way to look at it. Of course, the very secular way that just doesn't get down to the bottom of it all and is certainly not reading the text as it should be read. A text that keeps saying that God has given wisdom to Shlomo. Shlomo is the wisest of all men. And there's a good reason why all of this is placed in this chapter, a chapter which on the one hand talks about the great economic strides forward that were made by Shlomo, all the food that was there in the house of Shlomo. I mean, it was one catered affair from early morning till late at night, an Israeli breakfast and an American supper. You have to say, this is what's going on. What happens is the following, and maybe it can be understood with a medrash. It's more than a medrash. The Sephorno says it, I believe, in Parsha Truma or Tetzav. I would have to find the exact place. The Mishkan that was built in the desert, Chazal say, was never destroyed. Never destroyed. The first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. The second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. The third will never be destroyed. What's the difference between the Mishkan on one hand and the third Beit HaMikdash on the other, and the first and the second Beit HaMikdash? The Mishkan in the desert was built completely, totally, exclusively by Jewish hands. The third Beit HaMikdash, according to the Gemara, is going to come down, a building of fire going to come down completely from heaven. There will not be a Goyish hand involved in the construction of the third Beit HaMikdash. The first Beit HaMikdash and the second Beit HaMikdash, there were non-Jewish hands involved over here. And because there were non-Jewish hands, says the Sephorno, that's why it could not last forever. Now, this is not to be looked at as, you know, a hate the guy. This is not the point. Shlomo HaMelech was most probably ahead of his time, but he had no way of knowing it. What Shlomo HaMelech wants to do more than anything else, and he feels that the circumstances and the time are right for it. And therefore, this is what he embarks on as being the major accomplishment of his reign. What he wants to do is spread and bring the influence of Hashem Elokei Yisrael to a whole world. That's what he wants to do. What he wants to do is infuse and inspire an entire world with the greatness of Hashem Elokei Yisrael. That which had been the message of Avraham Avinu to all of mankind, and really remained a message that was centered in only one people. There's only one people that are still, at the time of Shlomo, only one people are still living with the idea that there's one God, one invisible God. The rest of the world is pagan and heathen. The rest of the world does not recognize the existence of one God. If ever if ever there was a moment in history where the possibility exists finally of getting this message out to the world, Shlomo HaMelech sees it in his time and in his person, and the geographic location for that is Yerushalayim. What he envisions is a whole world coming to Yerushalayim, and the truth is they're coming to Yerushalayim. They're coming for all sorts of things. You know, doctors are coming for doctors conventions, and educators are coming for educators conventions, and there are all sorts of princes and heads of state are coming to meet with the prime minister, with the king. A whole world, the focus of a whole world has become Yerushalayim, and he wants to use that focus as being the means for spreading the great message that Klal Yisrael has to spread throughout all history. What is our purpose? We are the ones who eternally bear a message that God is one. And in the time of Shlomo, we're talking about a pagan and a heathen world. And here, all his wisdom is the unique wisdom. He's received the gift of God. God has given him wisdom. A whole people recognizes this. His influence, he is Rode Bechol Eberhana. He is the one who rules over all sides of the river, all the way from Tifsach to Gaza. He is the one who is recognized by the world as the most intelligent of them all, the wisdom of God. What did it say over here in Melachim by Malkat Shiva? She came to Yerushalayim because she had heard that Shlomo had wisdom, L'shem Hashem. Do you know how Shlomo sees this? Shlomo sees this as an opportunity to influence all of the feminine kingdoms in the world. Malkat Shva does not have to be the queen of Sheba. Malkat Shva means the weaker kingdoms, a whole world. Their weakness is rooted in the fact that they don't recognize the existence of a one God. And also there's another thing. In Kabbalah always, the male is the one who influences and the female represents the one who receives influence. It is not a matter of gender. This is the imagery that's used. Shlomo HaMelech sees himself as the one who is in the unique position to be able to influence an entire world, and he's not going to let the opportunity pass him by.
What, Hiram a believer?
According to Chazal, Hiram was not a believer, and it is Shlomo HaMelech who wants to turn him into a believer. He talks from already. I know which pasuk you're looking for, Rachel. You're looking. He talks about Hashem Elokei Yisrael. But we know already in Yeshayahu and in Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel, we're going to read a great deal about Tzor and Tzidon. Tzor and Tzidon are the ones ultimately who wanted to crush Eretz Yisrael. What Shlomo HaMelech wants to do is spread the word, but more than spread the word, he wants to bring Mashiach now. He feels that he has it within his power to usher in the Messianic era. How does Yeshayahu describe the Messianic era? That all of the nations will flow toward Yerushalayim. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah udvarai Hashem Yerushalayim, from Zion shall go out Torah, the word of God from Yerushalayim. V'noharu elav kol hagoyim, all of the nations of the world are going to flow to Yerushalayim, because they will say lechu v'nala, let us go up el Hashem el Beit Elokei Yaakov, to the house of the God of Yaakov. Shlomo HaMelech sees what will later be the great prophecy of Yeshayahu and Micha. He already sees it being fulfilled in his own day, because the whole world, Malkat Shva, is a metaphor. It says Vatavo Yerushalayim, she came to Yerushalayim. You know what she represents? She is the one story here that represents people from all over the world who are coming to Yerushalayim. For what? They're coming to Yerushalayim to be inspired. They're coming to Yerushalayim in order to become part of all that Yerushalayim represents. And Shlomo HaMelech sees himself uniquely prepared to carry out that task. What he doesn't know is it's too early. The world is not yet ready. When the Gemara says that Shlomo lived with Malkat Shva, the queen of Sheba, and Nebuchadnezzar was born from it, it does not have to be understood literally that Malkat Shva was a queen and he lived with her, and Nebuchadnezzar is an oracle of Shlomo Melech. What it means is this relationship that he wants to enter into with the nations of the world in order to bring about the Messianic era was just a little too early. And because it's too early, because the world is not ready for it, do you know what this relationship, or all of the relationships of Shlomo, do you know what they have within themselves? The seeds of ultimate disaster. It's going to fail. It's going to bring about the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. He's going to enter into a relationship with Chiram, because he's going to have Goyish and also are going to be part of this construction. He marries all of these women. Don't for a moment think, oh, come on. He married all of these women. How could anybody have written Shir HaShirim, Mishlei, and Kohelet? His marriage to the women from all nations is because he is entering into all sorts of varied relationships with them, and his purpose is one. His purpose is because he sees himself so much in that unique position, he just about has everything that's necessary in order to influence the world. This is how we're going to have to take a look at Shlomo. This is the only way we're going to understand phrases here and there. And this is the only way we're going to understand the difference between Malachim and Divayayam. Divayayam is explaining the facts. By the time Divayayam is written, we know already that Shlomo HaMelech has failed. And therefore, in Divayayam, it's going to say that Malkat Shva, the queen of Sheba had heard. She had heard, but what she had heard made no difference. Here in Sefer Malachim it says, Shomat, she hears, because in the longer view of things, the story of Malkat Shva is going to be the end of history. The story of Malkat Shva is really going to be a world that is going to hear the message of God coming from Yerushalayim. They are going to come to Yerushalayim. Shlomo HaMelech thought that it was going to happen in his days and that he was going to make it happen, but that was not to be. All of his relationships are going to have to be seen in that light. If we're not going to see his relationships, his varied relationships in that light, then we're going to have so much difficulty with all the psukim that talk about God giving wisdom to Shlomo, and that Shlomo's wisdom is greater than all of the people, all of the wise men of East and West. Once we assume and we accept that as fact, that he is given a divine gift of wisdom, then it must mean that what he does is not done simply out of a desire for women. Silly nonsense! That would be a total misreading of Shlomo HaMelech, and it's a misreading of simple Pesukim Tanakh. You can't side by side read Sukkim that talk about his great wisdom and that this great wisdom is a great gift from God, and then he just goes off there and he marries Adonim and Ovium and Ammonium and Tsor and Sidon and the daughter of Paro. The daughter of Paro is going to be an extremely important relationship too. In a sense, it's if he conquers Mitzrayim spiritually, he has conquered the world spiritually. The superpower of the day is Mitzrayim. If he is able to extend his influence into Egypt and the word of God begins to reach the people of Mitzrayim, this is a great step forward for the belief in one God. Because we are the ones, as I say, who eternally bear the message that God is one. That is our responsibility. What I've really done is I've laid the groundwork for a lot of other things that we're going to say and psukim that we're going to explain, and an understanding of Shlomo HaMelech, any other understanding of Shlomo HaMelech, is going to fall flat on its face, and any other I don't know of many other attempts to explain the differences between Malachim and Divrei Hayamim. Divrei Hayamim represents the plan. The plan fails in the short run, but in the longer run of history, it is going to succeed. It's going to succeed. We're going to have to see Shlomo HaMelech in all of his greatness in order to understand when we finally get to the painful psukim of at the end of his life that Shlomo HaMelech is not the success that he could have been. We're going to have to understand that in the light of what it is that he wants to accomplish over a period of 40 years with all of the gifts that have been given to him by God, what was left to him by his father, David. He wants to accomplish great things, but it's not destined to be. And therefore, we don't have to see the relationship with the Queen of Sheba as a sexual one. We don't even have to see her as a queen. But she's an ideal. She represents something. She represents a weak world out there waiting to hear the message that Klal Yisrael has to give to. All right. I you should go home and you have to finish chapter 10 and chapter 5. We're on not up to chapter 11. Because 6 and 7 are going to be, in fact, the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. And as I told you, I may be just delaying things, because when I have to get to chapter 6 and 7, but we're going to do it. The Mi'etz Hashem, we're going to do it. Okay, see you home.